Hello and welcome to another episode of Happiness at Work podcast. My name is Michal Schreier and for today's discussion I invited Ralf van Roosmalen, CEO of Management 3.0. Management 3.0 is an international movement started in 2010 by Jürgen Apelo. Their mission is very similar to ours, to change the world of work and make the management everyone's job. And as we discussed with Ralf, it is about the mindset change supported by a collection of games, tools and practices they provide. Okay, let's dive into it. Hello, Ralf. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, on another season of the podcast. And thank you for connecting from far away, or at least far away from Prague. I can ask you to introduce yourself and where you do get in the topic that we are going to discuss. Please do.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael, for having me here. My name is Ralf Roosmalen. I'm from the Netherlands. I'm 46 years old, and I can talk for hours, but to keep it short, I work at Management 3.0, the topic of today. I'm responsible for creating the content for Management 3.0. I'm a team member, so doing whatever is necessary to keep things going, and I also fulfill the role of CEO in the company. So that's me in short. And
doesn't mean chief executive officer, as I've seen, but the E stands for something else, right?
Yeah, prefer engagement officer or things like that. I mean, we try to drink our own champagne, so we believe in a team without managers, but more on that later. And besides that, I help organizations to become more successful, happier individuals, teams, and often using agile, and then often you end up as an agile coach. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And maybe without hesitation, we can jump into the topic itself, because it seems like a huge topic for me as an outsider, and that's Management 3.0. And I would like to start with some history. Yeah. So where and when Management 3.0 started, and what was Management 3.0, and why is it 3.0 now?
Yeah, many questions. It started by the book called Management 3.0, how original, and that was released in 2011. And it was written by Jürgen Apelo, a Dutch guy, and he was at that time a CIO of a company, software company. And he was trying things out. He was maybe not that good as a manager, as he always said, but he was just trying things out, experimenting and sharing his experiments with people via his blog post. And people liked it. And he liked writing. He still likes writing, to write. And that's how he got the idea to write a book, to collect his blog post, and not just collecting them, but to make them much broader, add new topics. And that's where he wrote the book Management 3.0. It was released in 2011. And from that, he started doing workshops, talking on conferences, and the word got spread out. And at one moment, he hired a few people to assist him in doing the workshops, organizing stuff, and slowly the team, the company, started to grow. And I think in 2013, the company was officially founded, Management 3.0, a Dutch company. And nowadays, we are still here after almost 7 years and almost 10 years after the release of the book. So that's in a nutshell the company and the history. Why Management 3.0? What about Management 4.0? People often ask. In this book, Jürgen explains three different management styles. Management 1.0. And that it's really the traditional management style, command and control, based on Frederick Taylor. Managers tell people what to do. The thinking is separated from the execution. I think your listeners realize, understand this kind of management style. And it works quite well in some companies. I mean, I'm not saying that's the wrong management style, but if you work with creative people, software development, marketing, sales, then probably that's not the way to go. So people realized they need to change the management style. And then some people stepped into Management 2.0. And that is really like, okay, people are important, so we should help them, we should assist them. But in the end, there's still hierarchy. And an example is, for example, let's do some kind of innovation project. And all the employees can come up with an idea, and then the management in the end decides which idea to execute. That's again management 2.0, because management decides in the end. And then we have management 3.0. And that is really thinking in system thinking, believing that everybody is responsible for management, not just the managers. It is also about managing the system, not the people, because people are hard to manage. You should not manage people, but try to create a system that people can manage themselves. It's like a city we often compare it with. I mean, the city hall takes care of the sewer system, the infrastructure, but people in the city have to also to contribute to make it a great place to live. So that's how Management 3.0 is. Management 4.0 doesn't exist because it's really about the difference between 1.0, 3.0 and 2.0 in the middle. And then maybe a quick word, maybe that's your next question, what is it about? Management 3.0 is not a framework. It's not like Scrum or Safe or Less, things like that. It's a set of ideas, a way of looking at the system, at organizations. It's a set of serious games, practices that can people use to create, as we say, happier and successful organizations. And sometimes the practices, and we can look at it, are very practical, very hands-on. And sometimes it's just an idea, like manage the system, not the people. And some organizations, they apply one or two practices of Management 3.0, and they are happy with it. Some organizations really apply a lot of practices and ideas. But it's not like alacrity, sociocracy, more like alacrity that you really have to fulfill certain roles. It's a very, I often say, just a big toolbox with ideas that you can use, to start experimenting what's the best way to help your people, organization.
That's interesting, because often we see approaches like, as you mentioned, the holacracy, which is quite the opposite, it seems like, which is very complex, with very specific rules that you have to follow and specific structures that you have to have a holacracy in place. Does it mean that it seems to be bringing first bits of advantage, even if we are using in the company only some of the practices, only a little bit, and how most of the companies work? Do they just pick some of the practices and then maybe add more and more, and little by little they switch to management 3.0?
Yeah.
Does it work like that?
Yeah, I mean, and again, I mean, switching to management 3.0, I don't think you can switch to, but you can use the practices that you really want to use. And one practice that is very popular are the kudo cards. And the kudo cards are just a simple, plain postcard with words like thank you, compliments, great job, and with a big text field, I should say not text field, where you can write something for somebody else and you can give it to someone else. And that's a very easy to apply practice, but it's very powerful. I mean, getting a postcard from someone written with compliments or thank you, I mean, that's a very powerful gesture. And that's something that you can apply in every team. You don't need to have permission from the CEO to apply those kudo cards. But there are also practices like that you can really apply within the whole company, like, for example, the salary formula. I mean, that's a very common practice in some organizations and is one of the practices that we also promote from Management 3.0. But applying a salary formula, so that your salary is based on certain factors that are predefined, Buffer.com is very famous about this. That's not something that you can implement within a team. That's something that you have to implement in the whole organization. And to be able to do that, the whole organization should be in some kind of mindset like, okay, we trust people, we are ready for this kind of transparency, things like that. So it really depends on the practice, if it can be done locally, as I say, in a team, or you really should get the whole company. I mean, one of the practices that we promote is objective key results, famous by Google, LinkedIn, and other tech companies. I mean, you can apply them in a team, that's totally okay. But they're much more powerful when you can apply them in the whole organization and really use them top down from the CEO to the teams. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on the practice. If you apply them locally, if you have to apply them the whole organization, if you need permission sometimes from other people or some kind of approval, that depends per practice. Mm-hmm. But I think that the most of the practice you can already apply in your team very easily. And I think that's the strength of Management 3.0. The practices are very applicable, very pragmatic, easy to use, but it can be very powerful.
That's awesome. I have to check out the salary formula. We did something similar in our company 10 years ago, and it seems like it worked very well for us. But just like you said, often when I'm talking about our formula, I'm stressing out that it's not for every company, and it's very difficult to just do this as the first practice to start with, to start changing the company. It should be maybe one of the last practices.
Yeah, if you already manage it, especially when you have a company that's already there and that's already founded many years ago, and you need to implement this. It also really depends on the culture. I mean, some countries are very easy to talk about money, salaries. Some companies like the Netherlands, you don't talk about salary to friends or colleagues. I mean, that's something that you keep to yourself.
Yeah, same here in Czech Republic. Yeah. So maybe it's European, I think.
That could be, yeah.
Okay, it seems like a huge box of practices you can pick. Whether you are just a team leader and you are doing something with your team, or if you are the leader of the whole company. How do you choose where to start? There seems to be so far that there is just too many options. Is there some path you provide or help companies or people in the company to just select the right practices for them in their given state?
Yeah, oh, good question. Maybe one thing about Manager 2.0, we as a company, we have some kind of, let's call it a franchise. So the company Manager 2.0, we are 9 people, we promote the brand, we create the content, we maintain a website with a lot of practice and information, things like that. And then we have our facilitators, as we call them, all around the world, from Japan to Mexico and from Finland to South Africa. And they do the actual training, workshops, and coaching within companies. So we as a company, we don't sell directly to customers. We don't really help customers or people or organizations. It's really our facilitators who do that. I'm also a facilitator myself. And I think it's always looking at the situation. And as I consider it a toolbox, for me, it's really like, okay, I'm working with a customer organization and they have some unclarity, things are not clear about decision making. Or I have a manager who would love to delegate, but he's very afraid to delegate. And then I can look at my toolbox. Okay, do I have something for that? Yes, I have. I have the delegation board and I can apply it. I think that's the way to go, because I personally don't believe in just trying it out because it's fun. Sometimes you can, but there should be a reason to try out something. And then you can look in your toolbox and you can see what's there to help you.
Is there some tool to measure health of your team and pain points that you can address? That would be like meta practice that you went with your team through and then notice that, okay, it seems like we have a problem with feedback in our team. What are the practices that we can use? Is there anything like that?
We don't have it at this moment, to be honest. And I mean, I like the idea, so maybe it could be something I'd put on the roadmap to develop. Because as I said, we look at this as a set of collections, set of games, and not as a framework. But I mean, what we do have is 6 views. And everything within Management 2.0 is connected to those 6 views. And we call it the 6 views of management. And the first is about energizing people. It's about making sure people are happy, people are motivated and engaged. The second view is about empowering teams. So we got those people happy, then let's make sure teams are allowed to do, that they can work independently, that they know what to do, and that they are empowered to do their work. The third one is align constraints, and that's about making sure that resources are protected if you only have a few in a company, to make sure that you have clear goals, clear metrics. I mean, doing agile or doing this kind of thinking does not mean that it's just a playground, that you can do everything you want. I mean, you still have some goals and metrics in place. The fourth view is develop competence. That's about helping teams, people to grow. It's about giving feedback to each other. It's about improving your meeting structure. The fifth view is about grow structure. How can you grow your organization? How can you scale your organization? What are now the best organizational practices? And the last view is about improve everything. And there we talk about change management, we talk about celebrate success or failure, we talk about experiments, creativity, innovation, things like that. So we have those 6 views, and what you can do as a consultant or as someone who likes Management 2.0, look at those 6 views and see, okay, where do I have some challenges? And we thought about it to set up some kind of system, but some kind of, a test is the wrong word, but some kind of scaling. But often it's about behavior of people. And often it's also about the context. Because Man 3.0 works perfectly in some organizations. Man 1.0 also works great. It's all about the context. So I find it very difficult also personally to say how to skill people, how to rank people at teams. Because sometimes maybe it works totally okay. And then with another team, it will totally fail this approach. So that's always for me like, okay, if you're going to set up some kind of scaling or see where we need to focus, how can you do that without, as I said, it's about behavior of people. And that's always depending on the context. And that's also one of the things in Man 3.0. We believe in system thinking. It's a big system and a complex adaptive system. And you cannot control it with rules or with numbers. It's a living organism.
Mm-hmm. System thinking, I'm hearing this from you for the second time. First time you said about managing of system, not people. What does it mean if we look at the organization? What is the system there that can be managed?
Yeah, if I can connect that to some practices that we have. Mm-hmm. For example, we have one practice called Moving Motivators. And that's really about the motivation of people. What drives people? What do you get out of your bed? And Jürgen Upload describes in the book 10 motivators. Freedom, relatedness, acceptance, freedom, etc. 10. And of course, this is very personal because everybody's different. Everybody has their own motivators. But what you could do in an organization, instead of creating some kind of general engagement program, you could set up something like something connected to freedom, something connected to relatedness. And people who are triggered by freedom or triggered by relatedness, motivated by that, they can participate in those activities. They can participate in the things connected to that. And then they motivate themselves. You don't need to do it as a manager. Another thing is about delegation. One of the popular practices is a delegation board. And it really describes what a manager delegates to a team in the broader sense. If you make that clear, maybe with some constraints, and people, teams, know what they're allowed to do. They don't need to ask the manager every day. They can manage themselves because they know that they can make that decision on their own. So what we mean with managing the system is create as much freedom with some constraints, some guidelines, what people are allowed to do or not allowed to do, what is expected of them. And if they have that in place, they can manage themselves. I mean, why do you want to manage people? That's a hard job. You don't want to manage people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had some companies in the past. I mean, it will give you headaches. And if they can do the work themselves, if they can manage themselves, I mean, your life is easy as a manager. Relatively easy.
That's true. And it's probably even impossible to manage and motivate people, especially in the creative areas, which we all are going to work at very soon, right?
Yeah, and it's indeed, I always tell also in my workshop, you cannot motivate people. I mean, I cannot force you to laugh. I can't do that. But I can tell a joke, and that will make you laugh. And the same with motivation. I cannot force you to be motivated or to be engaged, but I can create the environment where you think, hey, this is cool to work here. I mean, I'm really contributing to something great. That will motivate me. And that's the role of the manager in that case, to make sure that that will happen.
You've been mentioning moving motivators and describing those. Similar area to Barrett values. Have you met those Barrett Values Center?
No.
And his work with personal values. But what I want to say is that it seems like there are different names for different practices, and maybe some of the ideas are not like new inventions specifically made for you, but you are putting it into the toolbox and you are preparing all the things. What I really liked on the website when I was looking through it is that it's not only the idea on the website that you can do this and that, but there are also the physical tangible cards, for example, that you can probably get from you and then use it with your team without the need of some big support from top management, right?
No, I mean, it's good that you mentioned it. I mean, if you look at the movie Motivators, just as an example, it's based on Dan Pink, drive, autonomy, purpose, and mastery. It's based on the research done by Stephen Rice. It's based on several existing models. Mm-hmm. And what Jürgen Upload did in his book, he said, okay, if you look at those models, for example, Stephen Rice, if he talks about motivation, he talks about romance. We could assume in most businesses that romance is not a business motivator. exceptions are there, of course. So let's remove that one from the list. And he looked at, for example, purpose and goal, and said, that's basically the same. So why not combine that in one more motivated, let's call it goal. So that's how he did it. And you will see that more often in some practice of Mentoring 2.0. It's not new, but it's just combining new things, maybe sometimes simplifying them. And I'm not saying that a lot of things are backed up by academic research. Sometimes maybe not. But sometimes it's not necessary. Sometimes it's just enough to bring people to the table and to get the conversation going and to get them talking. And I think most of the practices, a lot of practices, are there to get people in conversation mode, to get them talking again. And indeed, if you look at the web shop that we have, not to promote it, a lot of games you can also do physically. You can really touch, I mean, you can hold it. And that's also very powerful, I think.
Can someone use the practices not being facilitator? Like yes. If I'm mostly team leader, for example, and I've never led the team before, which is often, as I'm in contact with many companies, and often, especially in IT companies, the great programmers became team leaders rather than programmers, and then they didn't have time to gain those people management skills or facilitating skills, and now they have to do something. If they order some of the practices or take something from a website, is it usable for them, or they need something more?
I mean, I think that's already a great podcast in itself. That is a valid decision to make the best developers managers, but it happens. and yes, I think most of all the games you can just download from the website, you can read on it, and you can apply them. I mean, you don't need to get a very expensive certificate or a very expensive course. No, it's not necessary. And of course, we do sell workshops, but I think the power of the workshops that we sell, including the online workshops, because all of the practice you can read on the website, as you just said, I think the power of a workshop is to get together with people with the same mindset and talk about it and exchange ideas and learn from each other. I think that's the strength of the power of a workshop nowadays, because on the internet, there's so much information. I mean, you don't need to go to a workshop to read about new stuff. You can read it on the internet. I mean, just Google around what YouTube videos is there. But I think the power of the workshop is to get in contact with other people. And I think the strength of Mentoring 2.0 is that a lot of practices are very easy to use, but they can be very, I mean, it's up to your own creativity to make them even better, I think. Mm-hmm. Just experiment and try things out. We just provide a framework, we just provide the basics, and then it's up to you.
Let me go to a little different topic, but very close to me, and do the connection with the name of the podcast, which is Happiness at Work. Funny enough, there is Happiness at Work podcast produced by Management 3.0. I just checked it, and you started with the podcast 1 month before my international podcast was released. So we are the first one with Happiness at Work podcast, although at the time I think it was called Happy Melly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then it changed the name. So it seems like, and I've heard it also a couple of times in you answering, that the happiness of people is quite important topic in the whole Management 3.0. Can you do the connection for me between happiness at work and how does it make people happier to play with cards? but as you understand, that's not what I mean, but some people see it like that.
I mean, first, and it doesn't sound weird. If you look at the website and if you look at our games and our slide decks, they are happy. They are fun to watch. They are, I mean, some people don't like them, but they promote happiness. I mean, they're colorful, they're cheerful, because there are already enough boring management books. So let's stay away from that. I think the happiness for Mentoring 2.0 is very important because we believe in that. And not just happiness, also successful. I mean, if we're all happy but we're not successful, then it doesn't work. So it's a combination of. But we believe that by applying Mentoring 2.0 practices, people will become happier. I mean, if you got a manager who tells you every day what to do, how to do, when to do it, I don't believe it will make you happy, especially not when you're in a creative job. That will not make you happy. So a lot of practices, like giving feedback to each other, I mean, that's maybe difficult and it's hard sometimes and sometimes not funny, not nice to hear. But I think in the end, it will make you happier to get honest feedback from people. And we believe that if people are happier, they will be more successful. They will be more productive. They will enjoy their work. I mean, imagine that you have to go to your work every day and you're unhappy. I mean, I cannot imagine that. And I know there are a lot of people who have that. But that would, I don't want that to happen to anyone. So that's why we believe that the purpose of Management 2.0 is redefining leadership to create happier and successful organizations. And like the movie Motivates, if you know what drives people, you can foresee in those needs. What makes people again happier and more successful? So I think, and that's our really personal belief of every team member in Management 2.0, that we are really improving the world. We're making the world a better place by doing those practices and by teaching people about those practices. And we hope that people will use them. And is that the only way to go? No, probably there are much more other tools that also can help you. But at least some of the tools that we provide to people, we are sure that they can help them.
I really like what you are talking about. That's exactly my personal mission, to help people to spend those 80,000 hours a little happier. If we have to spend it at work, it should at least not be the time that we are just surviving. And it's possible. And it's great to hear that. Yeah. It's not only me being crazy, but it's more of us believing this. What I have in my head under happiness at work, there are mostly the two cornerstones are purposeful results and deep relationships. And it seems like I could very easily find and divide most of the practices you have into those big areas. So it exactly contributes to those areas and many others as well, right? I have to study your practice. How many of those tools are in the toolbox? Is there a number, or is it growing all the time or changing?
It's growing, and I think around 30 this moment. Mm-hmm. We got 21 modules, as we call it, and those modules are used in our workshops. But I think in the end, we have around 30 practices, some small, some big, some easy to implement, some like the salary formula a bit harder, or for some companies a bridge too far. But yeah, we have them. And as a company, we try to drink our own champagne. So we try to apply all those practices when possible or needed ourselves also.
Mm-hmm. What about the changes or switch to digital world in past year, which happened suddenly to most of us? Is it online ready? Do we have online version of those things we can start using?
Yeah, I mean, we have nowadays an online workshop. We developed it pretty quickly after COVID-19 hit the world. So we have that in place. And I think all our tools can be used online also. And of course, being in the same room with somebody creates probably a deeper connection than via Zoom or Teams. I believe that. But on the other end, I think if you make an effort, if you really want to, you can also create deep connections via Zoom or Teams. It will take a little bit longer. And I think all our practices can be applied online. We have templates in Miro that you can use. Mm-hmm. The only thing that we saw last year is a complete drop in sales in the webshop. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense because the products in the webshop are there for teams who get together. Yeah. And as you can imagine, last year, not many teams were allowed to get together. So there was no need for those physical games.
Bigger need for online ones, yeah.
Yes, and I mean, they have them. And as you said, everybody's allowed to use our materials. You can download all from the most of the games. We have online versions that you can download from the website in a lot of languages. I mean, I would almost be surprised if your language is not there. And you can download it, you can use them and apply them in your team.
Perfect. I'm putting it into my notes, so I have to check it out, because there is never enough of those activities you can do on online workshops, right? Because spending 8 hours on Zoom on the workshop is quite difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
I wonder if in a couple of years we will be all meeting in virtual reality. We just had one workshop like that yesterday, where we actually spent 3 hours with CEOs from Czech Republic in the virtual reality and seeing each other. And it was quite different than just a Zoom, but it's still not there to, it's still not comparable to sitting in one room and seeing facial expressions. Yeah, there's
a virtual reality myself, and it's fun, but doing that for 3 hours, it's also very tiresome.
Yeah. Maybe we are, I guess, almost at my 30 minutes mark, but I have still many questions, but I will use at least one, which is it enough to change my team, my company, to maybe study your website, get some practices? Or do I need to do something more? Does it need to be part of something much bigger and much higher with my much bigger structure, just changing my company as such? Or is it enough to start small and then grow?
I don't believe in big master plans nowadays, because big master plans always need to change. Doesn't mean that you cannot make a plan, but I would start small. I would maybe read a book about Manager 2.0, about modern management. You can also read a book like from Frederick Laloux about reinventing organizations. I mean, books like that to get a view, vision on where you want to go with your company. And then I think the next step will be to look at Manager 2.0. How can those practices support you? I mean, and there are more tools in the world that can help you. I mean, if you look at, for example, Sociocracy 3.0, I don't know if you know that one, but that's also a great tool with a lot of practices. So look at the tools that you need, start small, and I always tell people, if you improve 1% a day, at the end of the year, you did a lot more than 365%. You improved a lot more. But start small, start experimenting, start to learn. And yeah, it's an agile mindset, but I think that's in the end very important nowadays. Experiment, just try things out. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, that's a great point, especially nowadays when things are changing so fast.
Yeah.
Nobody would believe 1 year before today that we are going to be completely online. That's great. And as you mentioned, Frederick Laloux and his great book, Reinventing Organizations, do you see Management 3.0 somewhere in those color scheme? Is it transforming organizations from orange to green and to teal maybe?
Yeah, green definitely. Maybe not all practices could be related to teal. I would be honest about that. But green, definitely. And if you look at Management 4.0, you can compare it to maybe a red organization, the wolf pack, things like that. So I do definitely see a connection over there. Mm-hmm.
And what I really love, the big picture is happening in my head now, is that, that there is, on one hand side, there are many like theoretical frameworks like reinventing organizations where tribal leadership, another great book about moving your organization somewhere. But often there are not many tangible things. They are not very specific of, okay, I want to move my company or my team in this direction. What specifically can I do? And it seems like you are approaching it from exactly the other side, right? These are the specifics, and this is the result that it's going to do for you.
Yeah, I mean, that great that you mentioned that. I mean, often people are told also with big transformations in companies, you need to empower teams. That's what management is told. You need to empower your teams. And then a manager who is just like you, me, is wondering, how do I empower my team? What do you mean? And I think that's the strength of Management 2.0. There we can really say, okay, try this tool. This can really give you clarity and can help you to empower your team, because this is what it means according to us. But to understand that you need to empower your team, you probably first need to read those books in it, as you said. So I think I will be honest. I mean, I think it's both. You need to have the practice in your toolbox. You need to know, but you also need to know where to go. And I think if you read the books, but also maybe the book from Jurgen Aplo, Manager 2.0, as you said, Tribal Leadership, Reinventing Organizations, and you can connect that to Manager 2.0, I think then you have a very powerful toolbox. And then you can create a real vision where to go and which tools you can use to go there, to get there.
And it will help you make your people happier at work along the way. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's very important. I mean, I totally agree with that. And if you end up there where you want to be and everybody's unhappy, you will be there alone. that's boring.
Okay, perfect. I will definitely dive deeper into your practices and tools. I'm looking forward to see all of those. I've seen a couple of them, not all of them, but you definitely motivated me, or I motivated myself by listening to you. That I'll definitely dive deeper.
The system. We did not manage you, we managed the system.
Yeah, exactly. So it works. It seems like it works. Even in just 30 minutes of discussion. Thank you so much for what you are doing, Ralph.
Welcome.
For your mission of changing the world to be a better place. And since we are spending most of the time at this world at work, we have to start there, right?
Yeah.
Is there some last word you would like to send to my audience?
Just check out the website. It's manager.0.com. Check out the website, a lot of resources, and just try it out. Just start experimenting. Just do stuff.
And maybe listen to the other Happiness at Work podcast, right?
Where yes.
We are diving deeper into the specifics.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Looking forward to maybe meet sometime someday in real life. We'll see. It's more difficult in these days.
Okay. Have a great day. Thank you very much.